Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson producing. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic joining us here, brought to you by Holly Gerenzen, your local Geico agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you out with your car, your home, your motorcycle, your boat, your RV insurance, located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with Geico. Joe Rexroad, how many motorcycles do you own?
Hello?
How many motorcycles do you own, Joe?
Definitely. I'm afraid to go above 50 miles per hour in a car, so no. That's just me.
All right, let's get some Tennessee Volunteer stuff out of the way very, very quickly, just because I know you've been deeply into it as much as I have. First of all, Juwan Jennings, half-game suspension. Jarrett Garantano doesn't look like he's transferring. And, of course, Greg Schiano taking shots at the entire Southeast.
Yeah, an eventful week. And then some other guys, Johnson and Tatum going into the portal. No huge surprise, but a depth hit to the Vols for sure, next year. Guys you'd like to have around, if you have injuries. But, yeah, the Jennings thing surprises me, Braden. I really didn't think he'd be suspended. It's been really – I swear college football rivalries more than anything in sports, like the lens through which people see things, it's amazing how different they can be on one side or the other, It's, the crime of the century stomp on the head on the one side or – He didn't even know what he was doing. He was looking the other way on the other side, I watched that thing and I said, yeah, he meant to do it, and it was disrespectful. It wasn't like an injury harmful thing to me. From what I saw, I've watched the replay a million times. I didn't think he'd get suspended. I guess this is a half measure to sort of satisfy / tick off everyone.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, because Braden and I discussed it earlier, it's not the most egregious thing in the world, but then again, it's not the most harmless thing in the world. It's somewhere in the middle. You can look at it and say, well, he meant to do it, or you can look at it and say, well, maybe not. So a half-game suspension, I think it satisfies, the Vandy's fans that are screaming and then the UT fans that are saying, hey, this kid did nothing. He's harmless. Whatever the case may be. Looking at first, where do you think this team, what bowl game do you think they're going to play in? Because we had the Music City Bowl.
Franklin, Scott Ramsey.
Yes, I always get it mixed up. Franklin, Morgan, Franklin Music City
Franklin,
Bowl.
Franklin, American Mortgage, Mortgage Music City Bowl. Bowl.
We had him on yesterday, and we talked about possibly UT being here to play in their bowl game. What do you think they're headed?
Well, I mean, I think Scott Ramsey would give them a lifetime invitation, right? But I think they're going to be in Jacksonville. I don't think the Gator Bowl will let them pass. I think, you talk about always Tennessee is, you guys talk a lot. You guys just talked the other day about, this program and where is this program compared to other programs. I mean, that's a constant discussion. When it comes to this stuff, it's elite, and especially when you consider two straight years of not being a bowl game. I think Tennessee is an absolute commodity always, and I think maybe especially now that when you're red hot, you got some excitement going, you got some good stuff going on offense, and you've had a drought. I think it'll be Tennessee against, I don't know who, some Big Ten team in Jacksonville on January 2nd.
Joe Rexroad joining us here from The Athletic. The Tennessee Titans will play the Oakland Raiders after three consecutive wins. Josh Jacobs a little banged up. A lot of these guys banged up. What do you make of the secondary issues? And where, obviously, they're going to have three tough games to finish, but you got Oakland this weekend. Where are you most concerned about this team? Because I do think, and you've said this before, I think 4-0 down the stretch and 0-4 down the stretch, and everything in between is still on the table.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is, it's interesting because this particular matchup, it's probably the weakest wide receiver group you're going to see the rest of the way. Obviously, the Titans picked up Brock. That probably tells you something about, Adoree, which is not good for the Titans. Obviously, already losing Malcolm Butler. But, you know, attrition, I mean, everyone's dealing with it to some extent right now. The thing with the Raiders is you mentioned Jacobs. I mean, he's a tremendous player. And then Waller, the tight end, is and obviously that's a that's a thing the Titans still struggle with often is, you know, really good tight ends and letting them get loose. So, but as far as, you know, it's not a very scary receiving core for Oakland. But, yeah, it's I mean, this game to me, I mean, Oakland has to win. They've played two straight bad games. That Coliseum is going to be absolutely nuts next to last game. The ticket prices suggest, I mean, it is going to be packed and rocking. And, you know, traveling out west isn't always great to the Titans. So even though it was already like, you know, can you get over the hump at Indy? Okay, now you've proved us something. You know, that's a win that, you know, maybe changes some minds. But you got to go right back out there and not give this one up. And if you can get it, now you've got two out of three with Houston and the Saints in there, and you got a chance. I mean, yeah, it really is. There's no scenario among all of them that will surprise me from here.
But it would be vintage Tennessee. They beat Indy and then go to Oakland and they lose. Joe, is 10 wins the number? Or do you think they still would have a problem getting in with 10 wins?
It seems like, and I haven't gone through every single scenario, but, I mean, I guess the worst combination would be you know, if you get to 10 and one of the losses, you know, is one of the AFC games, but I think at 10, they're in pretty good shape, you know. And actually, you know, if it's the right 10, I mean, if two of them are against Houston, then I think you win the division at 10 in all likelihood, you know. So, I mean, it really does matter what they are. But to me, if they get three of the four here, You know, of course, there's things that are just out of their control. I mean, what's Pittsburgh going to do down the stretch, things like that. But I think they'd have a really good chance of being in. Obviously, 11, you know, they're going to host a playoff game. And, you know, at 9, there's a tiny, tiny chance that they could still get in. But I don't like those chances. But, you know, 3 of the 4. But, again, this is the one, just like we said last week, you got to get this one. Or, you know, I do think that this one at Oakland, you know, it'd be a tough one to drop, even though, you know, it's not like the Raiders are bad. I mean, they're a decent team, and they are only a game back, and this is, to them, this is a playoff game.
Joe Rexroth joining us here. Let's say the money works out, and John Robinson has a deal on the table with both Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. Let's say $20 million for Tannehill, $10 million for Derrick Henry, whatever the numbers are. But they've worked it out. But you can only pick one. Which one are you signing?
I'm signing Derrick Henry. And Tannehill has been terrific. Nothing you can take away from what he's done in this stretch. He's, I think certainly the Titans should at least want him for, a short term here, moving forward after this season. But if you're making me choose, I'm going to choose the guy who, to me, is emerging as one of the premier threats in the league. I mean, I understand that he is not, you know, the guy's not out running choice routes, and he's not Alvin Kamara out there and Christian McCaffrey. But excuse me, as a running threat, as a centerpiece of an offense, I mean, in the last 16 games, he has been elite in this league. And I understand the deal with running backs too, and the short shelf life, but the guy has been as durable as you can be, in this league, you know, and that to me is a huge part of it too. I mean, you can count on him every single week. So I'm signing Derrick Henry.
Well, he's been the best runner in the National Football League since the latter part of last year up until now. The best running back, probably not, because like you said, he doesn't do all those other things. But if you're talking pure runner, I think Derrick Henry has been that guy. This season and part of last season, they're going to have to make a decision whether, you know, they sign Ryan Tannehill to the, you know, 3-year, you know, 60-something million dollar contract that he's going to get somewhere, or do they let him walk in, you know, draft a guy and bring in another guy just to be a placeholder for this team. So that's going to be interesting. To see Arthur Smith, what he's been able to do with this offense the second half, sort of second half of the season. Just assess what he's been able to do at least the past, you know, six games since Tannehill has been a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, before last week, too, I thought the biggest issue, you know, in the first part of the season, which was pass protection, was getting better. And, of course, that reared its ugly head, especially in the first half at Indy. But, I mean, look, I think he's done a good job. You know, they've gotten Derrick Henry. They've committed to getting Derrick Henry the ball, I think, better. Excuse me. Obviously, Tannehill, I think, I guess, can make you look better, and quarterbacks can make you look worse, too, as an OC. But I feel like in every game there are calls that you can tell have been schemed up that I think often work, you know, are big moments in games. And of course, in this game, I mean, Mike Vrabel said he thought it was the best call of the year, but the shot to Khalif Raymond, and that ended that game. And, of course, it took a dime from Tannehill, but still, I mean, I really like that call. I think he's done a good job. I mean, it's the offense, you know, the production. Ultimately, you're judged by, you know, by the production, by the results, by the numbers. They've gotten dramatically better. You still have to point to Tannehill before you point to anything. I would point to Tannehill before I point to, like, Arthur Smith, you know, the light bulb coming on or something like that. But I think all along he's had the respect of the guys, good relationships, and you know, he's put his head down, and he's had some bad weeks and some good weeks. But overall, I think you look at that hire at this point and you say, you know, that I'd call it a success with an asterisk. Let's see how it goes from here.
Hey, Joe, I'll let you go, but I just, as a reporter, I'm curious what your thoughts are on how Peter Laviolette has handled the Kyle Turris situation. You know, Mike Vrabel had his dust-ups with the media. Jeremy Pruitt had his issues with the media early on. I'm just sort of curious what you thought of how Laviolette handled it and just sort of the interaction between press and coaching, the state of it today in journalism.
Yeah, well, look, I don't like how he's handled it because I want him to tell us everything that's going on, you know, and so you try to ask, but and you don't get much from Laviolette. I mean, he's been consistent in that way. You know, since I've been around here, he does not talk about really what he's thinking on lineup decisions. This was a curious, you know, this was a unique situation because you're talking about you're just kind of grabbing AHL guys instead of Kyle Turris there for a stretch, and so it's like, what the heck is going on? So, I mean, it's. I think it is. It's a case by case basis, Braden. I mean, I think overall your question, it's more contentious now. I think you have fewer, you know, frank conversations about things like that now than you used to. But it's also, you know, I mean, my understanding on Laviolette is that he used to be a lot different, you know, early in his career. And so, I guess, you know, when you're covered by New York and then Philly media, maybe
right.
That makes you a little jaded. But no, I to me it's always like, and I always try to make this point, like, I know that, you know, you're looking at me right now or looking at this room full of reporters, but you're talking to your fans, the people who make, you know, your job and all this possible because they want to watch and they want to pay for games. So that's who you're answering the questions for. And I would like people in Laviolette's position and coaches and general managers to be more mindful of that and not worry about who's asking the question, but who we're asking it for.
Yeah, go back. You sanctimonious troll, you, Joe Rexroad.
That's right.
With your meager little life. I'm quoting Mike Leach here, who was just a complete bozo this past weekend. All right.
Agree.
Joe, thank you so much, man. We do appreciate it.
All right, see you tomorrow morning, bud.
Thanks, Joe Rexroad, of course, brought to you by Holly Garenzen, your local GEICO agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you out with your car, home, motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance. Derek, your RV can be insured by Holly Garenzen. Located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with GEICO.
Well, if I had an RV, then...
If you had one?
Yeah, I'd get it insured by Holly.
There you go. All possibilities on the table and would not be a surprise for the Tennessee Titans. We'll explain when we come back.
And what else is not a surprise is, once again, men out there, I'm going to tell you about my good friends over at Cool Springs MD. For the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD Services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, which I'm in, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems. It's that time of year. We don't need to be getting sick and missing work and can't go out on the weekends with our family. So, men, they can improve your immune systems, your energy levels, because if you got kids, you got to be able to play with the kids. They want to go outside, play a little hoops, a little hockey, you know, throw the football. You got to be able to do that, man. You can't neglect that part of your life because you're tired. Cognitive functions and more. And guess who can help you with that? The good folks at Cool Springs MD. They will give you the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that lifestyle than now. What are you waiting on, men? Pull out your pencils, your pens, your cell phones, smartphones, whatever. Put this number in, store it, stick it on your refrigerator if you can't remember it. Give Cool Springs MD a call today and make an appointment. Not tomorrow, today. 615-486-3458. 615-486-3458. Make that decision. I made it. It was one of the best decisions that I made going to see the folks at Cool Springs MD. Also, go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
Injury report from the Titans yesterday. Corey Davis, Derrick Henry, Adoree Jackson, LaShawn Sims, all not practicing yesterday. Not sure if Adam Humphreys, I'm not sure if it, you know, we'll find out about those offensive guys. I would assume Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, Adam Humphreys are okay. The question is going to be about Adoree Jackson and LaShawn Sims. The Titans went out and signed Tremaine Brock, a corner, to come in and play. And he's going to be in the locker room right away. So that tells you what, you know, it'll be interesting to see what and how serious the injuries to Adoree Jackson and LaShawn Sims are going to be. Joe Rexroad brought this up, and we've talked about it a little bit. There's just no, like, there's not a surprising outcome for me the rest of the year for the Tennessee Titans. There is not a thing that could happen. Is there something that could happen that you would say, that is surprising to me? I think 4-0 would be surprising, but, like, even then, I'm not really sure I would say that's impossible. I think it's very, they're playing good enough football to beat anybody right now. They're the Titans, so they could lose to anybody, too. I'm not sure there's any outcome that could take place over these final four games that would actually shock me. Is there something that would shock you?
Nothing. I mean, nothing is impossible, just about. But what would shock me is if they did, you know, go 4-0. If they did beat Houston twice, that would shock me. It wouldn't shock me if they, you know, beat the Saints. Because we've seen them do that before. They've beaten these, you know, sort of high-powered teams that have come in here to Nashville to play inside Nissan Stadium. They've done that. They've been there. They've done that. I'm not surprised if they beat the Saints. Actually, I'm calling for them to beat the Saints. It's that Oakland game that I'm a little bit worried about. But what would surprise me, I would be shocked if they beat Houston twice. I would be really shocked because I think at the most they split with Houston. Even though they're playing good football, I think Houston is playing good football, too. They're getting healthier. Deshaun Watson is playing really good. They got the confidence after beating New England this past weekend. So what would shock me if they beat Houston? I think it would shock a lot of people if they beat Houston twice in this span. I think the Oakland game is the game that I'm worried about. I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Saints because they beat the Eagles when the Eagles were hot. They beat New
Patriots,
England
yeah.
when they came in here. So they beat Kansas City. I'm not surprised if they beat the Saints.
It's the NFL. I mean, all these teams are basically even. And, you know, one team has one better player or one better play call or one better execution, and all of a sudden they win a game. And, you know, there are some trends, though. I mean, obviously the Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill trend on offense is really – really been a positive and is the reason this team is here right now. I am still concerned about some of the ways I guess here's what I wonder. You beat the Chargers on basically a two down goal line stand that needed like three reviews on three separate plays. You beat Kansas City because you block a field goal and you held them to six field goal attempts, which is huge. The Colts at one point during that third quarter, guys, did you guys not feel the same way I did in the third quarter when it was 17-7 and I'm going,
oh, yeah, I thought it was
this feels like just another Colts game again.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they stick to the game plan, and you know they block a field goal, and that changes the entire dynamic of a tied football game late in that one. It's not like they're, you know, the Jacksonville game was domination. We'll give them that, but it's not like they're winning games, you know, thoroughly here. You give them a lot of credit for going 5-1, but Tampa Bay gave them the ball twice inside the 10-yard line. All these things are just football things, and so you can use them as either excuses or reasons, and make it either positive or negative. I just wonder how sustainable all of it is, and I would be 4-0 feels shocking. I'm with you on the Houston. If you can take two from Houston and also be expected to beat New Orleans, that's a tough ask.
Yeah, it is. So that to me, because I think 10-6 for me, I think that gets them in unless Pittsburgh then runs the table too. Then obviously I think they lose the tiebreaker with Pittsburgh. If Indy continues to win, they will end up the season 10-6, but then I believe they will probably have a tiebreaker somewhere here because they would have beaten Houston possibly twice in this span. They would at least have to beat them once, and then if they lose to them once but beat everybody else, then I think possibly Indy gets the tiebreaker because they beat Jacksonville both times, if I'm not mistaken. So 10-6, I think that's the best scenario for the Titans. I think if they go 9-7, they're not getting in. They're going to be left out. I think 10-6 assures them more than likely they get in, even though they still would have, because they lose the tiebreaker to Indy. If Indy continues to win,
well, right
they
now,
lose the tiebreaker to Pittsburgh if Pittsburgh continues to win.
Right now, Pittsburgh's got a one-game lead in the conference.
Yeah.
They're 6-3 versus the Titans' 5-4 conference record. Right now, you split with Jacksonville and you split with the Colts. So right now in the division, you're basically even. It depends on what happens with all the other teams. It really does just come down to the two games with Houston.
Yeah.
Like if you win one or two of those games, you probably can win the division title. And the wild card is possible, but it's all sitting there in front of it. And just like we've said every single week on the show since, you know, basically being 2-4 in the Broncos and Tannehill took over, all you're doing each week is just surviving every week. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is creating an opportunity for yourself the following week. And now you're in a wild card chase and a division hunt. You didn't necessarily expect to be in it. And you've got a game against the Oakland Raiders that is a team that's chasing you for the wild card spot. They're only one game back. They think they can control their own destiny too. And as you said, Derek, it'd be the most Titans thing ever to go out there and lose to Oakland. So it's not like it's going to be an easy game.
No, it's not. Oakland has, over the last few meetings, Oakland has had the better of them. I remember the game here. It might have been Derek Carr's second year. Somewhere around there.
Yeah, wasn't that the LaJuan penalty?
Yeah, LaJuan penalty.
Andre Johnson scored the game-winning touchdown, but they called it back for pass interference.
Yeah, it was just some weird
like that.
Stuff that went on, and Oakland ended up winning the game. But they've had the Titans number the last few meetings that they played. 17, Oakland won. 16, Oakland won. 15, Oakland won. 13-10, they split. So Oakland has had the better. And all three of them have been here in Nashville. All three of those wins have been here in Nashville. So, granted, those were different teams, both teams. Derek Carr is still the starting quarterback, for at least two of those wins. But for the most part, these are two different teams, two different coaches. So, the Titans might be able to go to Oakland and pull out a victory. But the last three games, Oakland has taken advantage, and they all have been here in Nissan Stadium.
Let's get into how they have fared on defense against some of the quarterbacks they've faced in recent memory, because you've rattled off all the good quarterbacks they've beaten.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Derek Carr fall? Is he a good quarterback, or is he a bad quarterback? Where does he fall on the list of teams that the Titans have played? Because they've beaten the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they're as good at beating Gardner Minshew. as well. So we'll get to that when we return right here on Morning Drive. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game for the grand opening of a new branch of Fifth Third Bank at 2814 West End Avenue today from 2 to 4 p.m. Take a selfie and meet some of the Nashville Predators in Nash from 3 to 4 p.m. and spin the wheel for prizes and enter to win a Winter Classic jersey or autographed Nashville Predators merchandise while supplies last. That's today from 2 to 4 p.m. at the new Fifth Third Bank located at 2814 West End Avenue. I'm going to be out there today hanging out, so come on by at 2 o'clock on West End over there.
Absolutely.
You're going to be there too?
Have a good time.
Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
This Titans team has lost games to Jacoby Brissett this year, lost a game. Although Josh Allen, I can't tell what Josh Allen is either, frankly. But really, they lost to the Bills defense. They lose a game to Joe Flacco, right?
Yep.
You lose a game to Gardner Minshew.
Mm-hmm.
And you beat Patrick Mahomes. And we saw this last year. You beat Carson Wentz, you beat Tom Brady, and you lose to some questionable teams and quarterbacks. How has this team fared, in your opinion, against the elite-level quarterbacks versus the bad quarterbacks? Can you explain it? And then where does Derek Carr fall into this conversation?
I don't think you can explain it. I think this season, the Tennessee Titans, if you look at, you know, what they've been able to do as a team and the quarterbacks that have played. What do you consider?
Like, you torched Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Who do you consider, when you play Cleveland and do you consider him a good quarterback?
All right.
Or
so here's who you've beaten, right? So you've beaten Baker Mayfield, Matt Ryan, mm-hmm. Phillip Rivers,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes, Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jacoby Brissett and Nick Foles. You've lost to Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, Josh Allen, Joe Flacco, and Kyle Allen. What?
That's not a superstar.
Like, you lost to Kyle Allen and Joe Flacco.
That's not a star-studded, group of guys you've lost to. Now, Jacoby Brissett is a good quarterback. Minshew was on a run there. Josh Allen, I mean,
he's producing.
He's getting better. Joe Flacco, I mean, that team is just bad. And then, Allen, they were playing well. But you got to understand, it wasn't Allen. It was Christian McCaffrey,
well, right.
That really did all the damage.
Well, and it was the Bills' defense
exactly.
that did the damage. It was the Broncos' defense that did the damage.
So, but those are games where, as a defense for the Titans, you can't give anything to the quarterback. Because you have been able to play well, even though they gave up points against Kansas City and
a boatload
and,
of yards.
Yeah, and Mahomes was Mahomes, but you beat Phillip Rivers, you beat Mahomes, you beat Matt Ryan, you made him look bad, you made Jameis Winston, throw interception after interception. You've done the things necessary, but then you play these other quarterbacks, and it's like, what are you doing? And granted, when you play against Jacksonville and Denver and some of these other teams, the Bills, they got really good defense. So it's not necessarily the quarterback, it's the defense that is playing well. And any opportunity they get, like Josh Allen, I mean, he had opportunities. He made the best of the two opportunities that he had to score points. But for the most part, the Titans defense played well. But Buffalo's defense played even better on the other side. So, I mean, I
think Derek Carr is almost directly in the middle.
Yeah, because
of this conversation,
he has, for some reason, he has played lights out against the Titans. The last three meetings, he's only thrown one interception, like 7 or 8 touchdowns.
He's 3-0 all time against the Titans.
Yeah.
He's never lost. 104 quarterback rating, over 8 yards per attempt, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's never lost.
Yeah, so he's found a way.
All three of them, by the way, I think here in Nashville.
Yeah, here in Nashville. He's found a way to play well against the Tennessee Titans. Can that continue in Oakland? Can the Titans now step up and get a victory against a quarterback that they've struggled against? And it doesn't help the Titans that their secondary is beat up. Even though, listen, Oakland doesn't have, these receivers that are going to wow you, but they got some good players. They got a back in the backfield that's pretty damn good, and he opens things up for Carr. You know, their tight end leads them in receiving yardage.
Darren Waller, I believe.
Yeah,
he was on a big. He was a big name on Hard Knocks because I guess he was coming off of some major addiction issues, and has like cleaned his life up and is now, you know, like he was featured on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, so the guy that they went out and get, Terrell Williams, granted he's only played 10 games, he's second on the team with 500 yards with 33 receptions. So they don't have receivers that are going to scare you.
Which is a good thing considering the state of the Titans secondary.
But, you know, the Titans have had trouble with tight ends at times.
Really? No.
And
no.
Oakland has one of the better tight ends in the National Football League. And they run the ball well.
I will say this. Does Derek Carr just fall into the Josh Allen, Jameis Winston category? Because when Jameis Winston's good, he's pretty good. Like, he can throw the ball, and if he doesn't turn the ball over. And Josh Allen, he's had efficiency issues, but when he's good and he's on, he's really good as well. So it's hit or miss. It depends on what Derek Carr you get.
I think all three of those guys are sort of, to your point, Marquise, I think all three of those guys are sort of lumped together as far as quality, but they're all so different. Jameis is going to throw for 380 yards, but he's going to give you the ball like three times.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is going to run the football. He's going to create a lot of offense with his legs, especially when the play breaks down. Derek Carr is just sort of a pocket guy who doesn't turn the ball over too much, takes care of the football. But to your point, Derek doesn't have a lot of weapons to go to right now. He's got, frankly, the idea that Josh Jacobs has been targeted 25 times this year is criminal. He is one of the reason he was a first round pick was that he is such a good receiver. And the idea that he has 18 catches and 25 targets to me is an indictment of the offense for the Oakland Raiders right now. Well, and look at what they've done the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They got crushed. Like 70-12 or something like
something's
that.
Something's going on within the passing game that they are not implementing him more in that portion
maybe
of their
maybe it's the fractured shoulder. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm
no,
maybe that's
serious. You could be right. But you look at these quarterbacks and you look at Carr in particular. When Carr's on, he is on. He looks like the first round pick when he's on. But when he's not on, he doesn't look as obviously he just looks like another guy. But they found a way to keep him sort of in that middle ground this season. Derek Carr, he's playing well. His quarterback rating is 98 right now, just below 100. So, I mean, is he playing great? No. He's playing well enough to give them a chance to win games.
I don't think that you can boil the entire Titans season down to just, hey, they beat good quarterbacks and they've lost to questionable ones. I think that's simplifying it too much. Like you pointed out, like really it was Christian McCaffrey for Carolina.
Exactly.
Really it was the Bills defense and the Broncos defense that played really well. Also against Mariota, by the way. The offense was different then. Because Dean Pease is the guy you count on. Dean Pease is the guy you go, of all the coaches over there at St. Thomas, you're going, man, I think Dean Pease is the guy I trust the most.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
To design a scheme. They came out in zone against Jacoby Brissett and were getting torched, and they switched it up to man, and all of a sudden they're bringing double safety blitzes.
Yeah, they brought more pressure.
He adapted really well in that game. So it's weird that the guy you trust the most, Dean Pease, you know, has been beaten by some quarterbacks that you would not necessarily put at the top of the list.
Well, this is another quarterback that you probably wouldn't put
at
the top of the list, but he has had a history of beating the Tennessee Titans and playing well. He doesn't make mistakes, and he doesn't turn the ball over when he's playing the Tennessee Titans.
Now, I will say this about the Oakland Raiders, and this is why it would feel like a very Titan thing to do to go out there and lay an egg. It's because the Oakland Raiders have been beaten 74-12 in the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to lose to Kansas City 40-9. That's one thing. It's another thing to lose to the Jets 34-3.
Yeah.
That's absurd. Derek Carr has had interceptions in three straight games. He's got two touchdowns and four picks in his last three, and that included a 7-point win over the Bengals, the worst team in the NFL. So this is not a team playing good football right now. They're not playing at their highest level. So, listen, he's been sacked, I think, six times in the last three games. The defense has been playing terrible. This strikes me as don't overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, use Derrick Henry. stick with the game plan that has worked. Try to mask your defensive deficiencies in the secondary right now, and go out there and handle your business like a professional team, and you should be able to come back 8-5. And then it's the best 2 out of 3 at that point, right? Mm-hmm. You get 2 games with Houston and 1 with New Orleans, and if you can win 2 out of 3 at that point, you're probably going to get into the playoffs. I don't know. The Steelers aren't going to go 4-0. They're not good enough with Devlin Hodges. Come on.
It's going to be tough for them to go 4-0.
I know there's
because of what they're playing with and who they have to play.
Their schedule's not that hard, but like again, it's Devlin Hodges.
Well, they got Baltimore at the end of the season, and you know,
guaranteed loss.
Yeah, it all depends on what Baltimore is playing for. That's the thing. Right. But if you look at Oakland, their defense is playing well right now.
34-3 to the Jets. Their defense is playing well.
No. Overall, their defense is playing pretty good.
They were 6-4 and in the playoffs, and they just pooped themselves.
The last two games, they've given up a lot of points.
I keep forgetting Marquise is a huge Raiders fan. I'm sorry, dude.
I'm sorry, Marquise.
They totally went to bed the last two games.
Like, see, with the Chiefs game, it's kind of understandable, even though they did lose to the Chiefs early on without Patrick Mahomes, and then you have Patrick Mahomes back in that game. So obviously that loss you expect. You know, they're still fighting for a playoff spot as well.
But they would have had the division lead had they won that game.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of the opposite of the Bills. Now, the Bills are going to have that opportunity to beat the Patriots and kind of take control of that division. But the Jets loss is one of those losses that just, if you're going to fight for a playoff spot, it does not happen. It's like the Steelers, for example. Even though Kyler Murray has played well this season, you know, with the Cardinals, the Steelers cannot lose that game to the Cardinals, even if they do have Devlin Hodges starting at quarterback.
Yeah, they got to win.
The way their defense is playing, and even with Devlin Hodges and how he's played so far, that's no way you can lose that game. This is a team that's 3-8, 3-7. So that's the situation that the Raiders fell into of, we lost a game really that we're not supposed to. This Jets team's clearly focused on next year, and yet you lose to them and you can't even score on them.
Well, 3-8-1, by the way, the Cardinals.
Well, there's going to be a lot of running of the football both teams because both teams' run defense, you know, is okay. Not great. Okay, both teams is giving up over 100 yards per game rushing. So you're going to see, you know, Jacobs get the ball a lot, and obviously you're going to see Derrick Henry get the ball a lot.
Yep, it will be very interesting, and we'll continue to discuss it all through the week as we continue to move forward towards a huge game. Stick to sports when we come back right here on Morning Drive. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Sounds also like the club. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the club.
This show is always a club, man.
Is that what the kids call it? The club?
The club.
The club?
D-A. We be clubbing?
Let's stick to sports, will we? Please.
Ice Cube.
The crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
All right, as always, Stick to Sports is brought to you by the good folks at Decorated Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den when you're ready to decorate your home. Men, single men, or men that are moving here with their significant others, and you just don't have the time to decorate that beautiful house of yours because you're working and you're getting settled. So Bonnie and the good folks at Decorating Den will help you with your home, office, or your outdoor spaces. So call her, request that complimentary appointment, which is free, online at decoratingden.com.
Number one.
Speaking of single men out there.
All the single men.
If you like it, put a ring on it because I need it.
Wait, huh?
It's a Beyonce song.
No, I know the song.
Put a ring on it.
Yeah, just put a ring on it.
They can put a ring on it, too.
Yeah.
So you're asking for women to ask you to marry them.
Absolutely.
Is what you're asking.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Hey. Let me know how that goes.
Yeah, probably not well. But so basically, and this is another Thanksgiving story. When I went back home, obviously, I get to catch up with friends and people I haven't seen in a while. So I caught up with a buddy on Saturday before the Alabama-Auburn game, and we had lunch. And he's recently single. Now, he's been with his girl for like three years, so he's new to this game. Mm-hmm. And it's sad when my friends be like, so what's it like? You've been single for a while. What's it like? I'm just like, well, you don't got to put me out like that. Like, you know, I know I've been single for a while, but it's my choice. But so he basically said he went on his first date that he met with a girl, and she said that, and after the date, he had two flaws of he played video games a lot, which I think is ridiculous. If you play video games in your spare time, that should be like a pet peeve or whatever. But hey,
folks. So if somebody says, hey, you play a bunch of video games, if a woman says, I'm not going to date you if you play video games.
I mean, there's been girls that tell me that.
Oh, of course. Because yeah. Video games are for children.
But I don't play video games a lot. I play Madden every now and then with the homies, but that's about it.
I'm just messing with
you. But then another thing, he paid for the date with a gift card. And I was like, is that a violation to pay with a gift card? I don't think it is.
It's not a violation.
Now, you can certainly hide the gift card, too. Like, you put a credit card on top of the gift card, you put them both in there. She would never need to know that it was a gift card.
No, I don't care if she knows. Hey, take you to a nice restaurant. I got a gift card to this restaurant. We're going.
What if it's not a nice restaurant? It's a gift
still,
card,
I'm paying for
can't
it.
Can't even remember what restaurant he told me. But it's like, he's like, yeah, I paid for the gift card. She kind of looked at me funny like, oh, he's paying for the gift card. I'm like, she don't like video games. She's mad at you for paying with a gift card.
You don't need
doesn't
to be
sound
with
like
her.
A keeper, yeah.
Yeah, don't sound like
definitely not
sound
a keeper, dog. Like, don't even reply back to her. Just keep it moving, man. Yeah.
Now my wife and I, like, this is the difference between being single and being married. Like, we only go out when we have gift cards.
Yeah, it's like I got a gift card. Let's
oh, we
go.
Got a gift card. We got a reason to go to XYZ restaurant now.
Yeah, that made me nervous because I'm like, I got plenty of gift cards I can use on these dates and around town in Nashville. Nashville's pretty expensive, so if you get a gift card, I'm going to use it.
It doesn't matter how I pay. If I'm paying, then let me pay.
It's my money.
Exactly. It don't matter how I pay.
You're getting a free meal out of this situation.
All right, settle down.
Absolutely. You're getting a free meal. Don't sit here and nitpick how I pay for the meal. If I pull out a bunch of pennies, so be it.
I don't know. I might judge you then. One, two, three.
Hey,
Derek,
hold on, girl. No,
Derek,
no.
It's $45. It's going to take you 2 hours to count $45 in pennies.
Number two.
Speaking of pennies, and I don't collect pennies. I don't collect change anymore. That's weird that nobody collects change anymore.
I collect change, but not bronze, only the silver.
Yeah, so there's a man. There's a Valley man that cashed in $1 million in pennies. Well, a million pennies, excuse me, not $1 million in pennies. That it estimated to over $1,000, but he basically been collecting these pennies for many years, and he built a pyramid off these pennies. And so I guess he decided, you know, building a pyramid with all these pennies, maybe a little bit too much. So I'm going to go ahead and just give these pennies away. And then he basically got thousands of dollars because of it. So that's why you should say always save your pennies when you find them. Because I don't.
I think
don't really either.
I think pennies have been the forgotten coin. And I've always thought of this. I said, one day, one year, as I get a little bit older, I said, you know what? I want to do sort of like an experiment because I did a quick experiment one day. We're at the University of Texas on a school visit. And I said, you know what? Watch this. Everybody.
Crosswalk thing?
I said, I guarantee you. I was with Bailey and DJ. I said, watch this. Everybody's not letting the car go.
So there was a car that was trying to go.
Yeah. And all these people are. I said, I guarantee you, if I walk and just stop, everybody else will stop. I stopped. Everybody else just immediately stopped.
Because everybody follows the herd.
Exactly.
Right.
I want to do an experiment with pennies. Like, just go around every city in the United States, well, every state in the United States, and just ask.
Both Dakotas?
Yeah,
I don't like this.
Dakota.
I don't like
yeah,
this experiment.
And
only one damn Dakota.
Spend a day at each place and ask everybody I run to for a penny. Just one penny.
How many people do you think actually carry pennies still, though?
I might have one in my truck.
Like, the car console is where you have the pennies.
Either you get a penny from there, or you're going to find a penny on the ground.
So let me ask you this. I genuinely had this conversation with myself. Not out loud, of course, in my own head. I found a bag when we were moving, like last year. I found a bag of pennies. Mm-hmm. And I never even took the time to count. And it probably was hundreds of pennies. Mm-hmm. But it would have been no more than $5, right? Like, 600 pennies, 700 pennies, 800 pennies. It's a lot of pennies to be carrying around, and it's like $7.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Is it like if you were going to give that to someone who needed a couple of bucks, somebody homeless, the contributors that you see, you know, handing out the papers around the around Nashville, like, is it insulting and helpful to donate 700 pennies to someone who may need it? Like, is that actually going to help them?
If that's all you have is 700 pennies, which is $7, then give it to them.
So it's not like...
No, it's money.
But you see why
I get it.
Like, I'm going to put you through the trouble of taking care of these 700 pennies, even though you might need the $7 more than me, clearly. It's just, I felt weird about, like, handing someone a giant bag of pennies. But I also felt weird about throwing it away.
Because
I'm not going to...
You don't throw that away.
I'm not going to throw away 700 pennies. But my wife is like, dude, you're not going to keep 800 pennies around the house.
You can go to Kroger and just dump it in a thing. And
the little coin machine.
Yeah, a coin machine, and it spit out money.
That's too much trouble for $8. I'd rather donate it. Give it to somebody. No. The question is...
Well, give it to me.
No, man.
Because
I'm
collecting pennies.
Damn pennies.
Well, there's seven pennies in
the
studio.
I'm saying like the guy on the side of the road that clearly is asking for money. Like, is it out of line to,
no,
to give
to me, it's
800
not.
Pennies to somebody?
If you have a bag of pennies, just
all right, maybe,
give it to him.
Maybe I overthought it then.
No.
As usual, I overthought something.
Man, give it to him.
Number three.
Okay, so here's a story. Now... If you call off of work for being intoxicated, don't show up to work intoxicated. So there was a Georgia man that called in his job, and this is Thanksgiving weekend, because he was intoxicated. Then he showed up to his employer and tried to rob the place. 20-year-old man tries to rob his coworkers, pretty much, after calling in drunk. Now, mind you, I already don't like you for calling out, especially if you work a restaurant on a weekend and somebody calls out. That just messes
up. That's the worst.
That just messes
up the whole schedule.
It messes up all the operations. So not only do you do that, but then you come in here, you try to rob us afterwards.
And was he really drunk, or he was just using that as an excuse?
He called his employer and said, quote, he was intoxicated and couldn't go to work.
So like, he tried to rob the place. Did he have a mask on? You have something on, or he just came in there like, hey, give me the money?
What's so
funny? He just said, give me the money. There's no...
So this is a restaurant, you said?
Well, this is... it's a business. It's a fast
like
food joint.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. There's so much of the story that I don't care about when you tell me he tried to rob the place. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care that he called in sick. I don't care that he was intoxicated. All those things don't matter to me if the whole story is he tried to rob the place.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to know anymore else of the story. I don't like you. That's it.
What's funny?
But he tried to rob the place drunk.
Yeah. Freeze, man.
That's probably why he was trying to do it.
Yeah, you got
a wine. Hey, put your hands up.
I just started laughing at you.
Like, dude, are you really drunk?
Well, I was like, are you serious, man? Clock in so you can help. I'm serious, man. Put your hands up. This is a stick up, man.
He starts laughing at you.
I'm trying to figure out, you're a pretty good drunk guy. This is what I'm trying.
Why
do people still rob banks?
They don't.
Yeah, they do.
I mean,
people still try to rob banks.
People are more like scammers now. It's more scamming than anything.
I believe grifting is the term.
No, people still...
There are professional grifters.
People still do try to rob banks. And I was trying to... I heard a story yesterday. Was it yesterday or yesterday? That a guy robbed a bank. And he ended up getting caught. But I'm like, why would you rob a bank?
Where?
Why? It was here.
Like in Nashville?
It was, I don't think it was in Nashville,
but it
was
here. Like a rural bank in a small town?
No, it wasn't a small town.
Like, you ain't going to like Bank of America on Broadway and like robbing that bank, like in downtown Nashville. There's just no...
Some people try. That's like robbing a convenience store or a gas station. It's like, you're going to get caught.
Or like at the new location of Fifth Third Bank in Green Hills that I'll be at from 2 to 4 today, like no one's going to try to rob that bank.
I hope they don't. Good Lord.
Yeah, don't even speak that evil into existence.
Here's the deal. You're not Jason Bourne, and this is not the movies.
People think
you're not going to get away.
People think they are.
You're not going to get away. Now, people scam each other all the time. The scam artist, grifting, con men thing, like that happens all the time with people, you know, doing all kinds of silly stuff to each other. But you're not going to walk. You're not going to evade the police and run from the CIA or the FBI or the TBI, for that matter, and actually get away with something like that.
I just
it's not going to happen.
If someone tries to rob a bank, I just want the teller to just yell, "Hey, nobody robs banks anymore." And then the robber takes his mask off. Really? Nobody robs banks anymore? Okay, I'll come. I'll go do something else. I'll go do scamming, because that clearly is the thing now.
Robbing banks was so 1970s.
Yeah, man.
Not cool.
After the movie set it off, that should have been the end of robbing banks. Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith. Good movie, by the way.
Georgia and LSU in the SEC championship game. I've got some Jake Fromm stats you need to know as you get ready for the weekend. We'll do that when we return.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.